Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, daspitlaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I learned that Lance is wearing a shirt that looks like AC/DC, but it's really ADHD.
It's the logo of AC/DC.
It says, but it I is thought not. It was AC/DC until he goes, look, oh, wow. ADHD, go ask your mom.
See, I took that, when I got my that go ask your mom thing, I took it as like, you better go ask your mom, like I did something to your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think most smart people think. Other people, I realized it was not made in that form. It was made like, you know how dads say, hey, dad, can I do that? Go ask your mom.
Right.
And can I tell you that wherever I wear that shirt, no matter
if
I am.
If I say it, it would be, go ask your mom.
Yeah, yeah, well, right. That's how I wanted it to mean. And they
when my buddies used to call me.
I love that shirt.
Where are you at? I'm with your mom. What?
When I was at Telluride, that shirt's great. I love that shirt. Like all these white parents. Like, that's good. Good. Exactly. We go ask. I bet your wife doesn't like that shirt. Yeah. Shut up. It's
whoa.
So the ones
wow.
I get the you most comments on are, go ask your mom, and then my Contra shirt. People love Contra. And also I've got a shirt that has Billy Hoyle and from White Men Can't Jump, but it's in the NBA Jam format. And it's really just a bunch of...
Did you get any Hall of Fame shirts on
I got that Saturday? One that said first couple of news. I bought that shirt.
First couple of what?
First couple of news.
Oh, yeah.
Is that one lady had
no,
made?
No, you didn't get...
That's an inside joke.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I immediately checked them, and they were Gildan, and I was like, I'm not on Gildan brand.
What? Oh, why? You don't like Gildan?
Nah, not
they're
so
a little
much.
Thicker.
Yeah, they're rough. They're big sleeves. They actually have done a little bit better job. There are a lot of times what you would find at Academy if they're going, you know, the cheaper T-shirts. I want better T-shirts.
Yeah. I got a couple for the kids.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. We didn't mention Alex Bregman wins the Gold Glove. He played really well this year.
Did you see who the finalists were? Did you see your boy Jake Myers was a finalist?
Yeah, but he didn't win.
He didn't win, obviously.
No,
but,
he didn't win.
And so was your other boy.
Barshow won.
No, so was your other boy, the Frenchman. Our French Argentinian or whatever, Venezuelan.
Dubon?
Yeah, Marcel.
Mauricio.
Marcel Dubon, same.
Yeah, but yeah, he won last year. He didn't win this year.
But he was a finalist.
Yeah.
And then Breggy won, and then Breggy will go somewhere else because we don't offer.
Well, today we offer him the qualifying offer. With 21.05.
So we can get our draft pick.
Sweet. No. Well, I don't know. Today's the last day up until 4 o'clock that they've got. They're an exclusive window, which is such BS. They probably already have a deal with the Yankees. They probably already have a deal. And you know these agents. Yeah, we're going to stick to the rules. No. And especially Boris. I'm not accusing you of anything except cheating. But you know that they know exactly what they're going
to
get.
Oh, if we had something different, we would be able to, if it were different, we'd be able to keep them. No, it's real simple. We'll pay you this much. Somebody else will pay you this much. And that's it. And we're done.
Yeah. Well,
it's not really complicated. Like, man, the Astros could have re-signed Bregman if it wasn't for Scott Boras talking to other teams. I mean, Scott Boras is going to talk to other teams.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
He
knows
ago.
What the market is right now. Okay, what is Breggy signed for?
I think 6 years.
The exclusive period ends at 4 o'clock today. If at 5:30 Alex Bregman has a contract with the Yankees, then you know that, something funny business was going on.
I think he signs for $6 at $28 a year, $168 million, fully guaranteed. I think it's a I think it's a reasonable contract.
I don't think they're going to go.
You do more years.
What do you more think than 168?
Okay, over under on year 6.5.
Probably 7.
Okay, over under on average per year 29.5 million.
I think 30 is the number. Probably 210.
So you think 30, 210? Okay, I'm going to go under that number. I don't think he gets those years based on his age. And I don't know. Lately, they've been a little. It depends on how quick you hit the market. If you don't strike quick, to Scott Boras's point, like if you want to get your money, you better strike quick, because it seems like it's really been an issue for players who are not right at the first. Well, an issue. I mean, you know, 20. Plus million dollars should never be an issue. But if you're just going by numbers versus players at the same position, just purely about the numbers, then he won't get that. He's not going to get as much money. So we'll see. We'll see if he gets the $200 million. All right, I'll make the total $200 million. You said 210, but if I do,
I think 200,
200 and a half.
It's going to be. It's going to be 190 to 200. Yep. And
makes sense if it's
and it might be 7 years.
Now six at 30 would be $180 million. You'd be under the total. I think it could be that. I wouldn't. $180 million is the highest.
I think he's going to want 7. I think 7 is going to be a nice number, and it'll be between 190 and 200.
I'm not. I guarantee you, there's at least 2 years of dead money in that contract where he doesn't play as well. 7 years.
He's so funny though. I mean, it's the same every single year. What is he? 32.
30. Isn't that crazy?
30?
He seems older.
Yeah. No, he's going to be
7. And he played in college, too.
It's going to be 7. It's going to be 7 years. And it's the same thing every year.
Yeah,
every
probably year, is going to be 7
every
years.
Year. He starts slow, and you know what the Yankees want? And this is why he's going to be a Yankee. The Yankees want somebody that's going to perform in the postseason. And dude is proven. Dude just hits. He rakes in the postseason. And that's what the Yankees are looking for.
Are you considering
plus
that?
The consistency of his third base play, although they were talking about him moving him to second.
So, you know, one of the things the chef once told me is you really only need two things to season a dish, salt and sugar. And if things get too salty, you can use a little pinch of sugar, keep going, and it'll balance out a dish. So Alex Bregman is that counter spice for Aaron Judge.
Judge? Yeah.
Like, somebody who will perform in the postseason versus Aaron Judge?
Yes.
Is that where we are now?
That's right. Well, he and Stanton.
Yeah.
He and Stanton. And, well, it'll be interesting to see.
Stanton never did anything against the Astros, though.
If the Yankees are going to be able to sign. If they sign. What if the Yankees sign Soto and Bregman? Now, Gerrit Cole opted out. That'll be interesting to see whether or not he's re-signed by the Yankees.
Comes back to Houston. Verlander gone, Cole here. Listen,
oh yeah.
If Cole comes back, I'll reassess some of the comments I've made.
If he comes back, then you're gonna climb on.
Well,
wow. Now, no. Some of the things that you said about Gerrit Cole and Jeff Passan, you can never take back.
I've apologized to Passan, and then he came after me in a text form when everything was
even
supposedly smoothed
out,
and then I got in his ass again.
Whoa!
And that was that. And then we, and I said, "Hey, well, I won't go into it." But it was an hour and a half back and forth between me and Jeff Passan when I said total Jeff move. When he had said something, there was something about the Astros. He said, and I put that on Twitter. Well, I didn't realize I'd been banned from ever saying any. Like from saying that it was a move that he would make with the Astros about, the cheating stuff. It's old. But anyway, you brought up Jeff Passan, and I've got an ADHD shirt on, and so I'm off the rails. But as long as Gerrit Cole could be an Astro if he's willing to take 2 year deal, because that's what he's going to be looking for about 8. 7 or 8, and what Jim Crane's looking for is maybe a 2 to 3 year deal. So we'll see if the two sides can come together on that one.
Yep. All right, 9:14. 8:14.
Guess what?
We
got to
change
deal
this clock in here. It's only 8-14.
By the way, Jim Crane's deals are actually way smarter for teams. So many of these stupid 7 and 8 year deals. Like any deal Bregman gets, he's probably not going to perform well. At least 1 year, maybe two. And this, it goes for anybody that, although at 30, I mean, I'm sure he turns 31 maybe before the season starts because he did play at LSU and he didn't come into the league until 16. So I don't know. Like, that's shocking. He's 30 years old to me for some reason.
He's right, and whatever he is.
I mean, the number, yeah, the number fits. I mean, it's 8 years,
yeah,
or 8 seasons.
All right. When we come back, we gotta let's touch on the football season with the on the college college football from this weekend. We'll do it on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 8-14 right now. You're talking about Zadik Jewelers.
Zadik Jewelers. I went to the event. They had the it was a private event. I went and was blown away. The Breitling watch. They have a new Breitling watch that's a Houston Texans Breitling watch. So it turns out that all 32 NFL teams are assigned, those cities are assigned 104 watches, and that's it. 104 watches from Breitling, and that's all you're going to get. So it's an exclusive watch. It's going to have a lot of value. It's going to be very valuable because, you know, because of the exclusivity. And they've already sold out of there's a bunch of places, or there's a few places that get allotments of these watches. But if you're a huge Texan fan and a huge fan of watches, get over to Zadik. I saw somebody buy one just the other day when I was there at that event, and you can still get some. They still have a couple, and then once they sell those, they will order as many as they can in their allotment, but it's going to be a small amount, so the supply side is going to be low, the demand is high, and you can have an exclusive timepiece that is going to just increase in value. Make sure that you go get your hands on this really cool Texans watch. It's really well done as well through Breitling and Zadik Jewelers. 1801 Post Oak Boulevard at Zadik Jewelers.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You know, we talked earlier, we briefly mentioned earlier, the Texans obviously lost Thursday night against the Jets. But something C.J. Stroud said has created a little bit of concern, maybe. Certainly has opened some eyes. C.J. said he was embarrassed on Thursday night, obviously. But this is what he said, John, and tell me what you make of this. I would say we just got to honestly play football better, execute better, stop pointing fingers, and realize at the end of the day, this is not winning football. We can't keep squeezing our way by every game. We're a really good football team. We have a lot of really good players. Once we buy into the systems, not one, once we buy into the systems and what is being coached, and also we have to have leadership to take over. I believe this isn't the end, but it's definitely a great wake-up call for us to tighten up the ship. This is now playoff football. It's November, December. This is a chunk of our schedule. A lot of great teams we are playing on primetime, and we got to be able to find ways to win. He said we can't keep – well, so the highlight of this whole thing is we got to stop pointing fingers. I haven't found it.
Well, he hasn't.
Well, he just read it word for word.
Where have you had it? I haven't seen the video.
Well, one of the reporters grabbed it. I have it, but it's word for word what he just said.
Okay, let's hear CJ say it.
And then I'm going to say it's at the same time.
It's better when CJ says it. Okay? So because CJ, well, this is how you get in the Hall of Fame. You take other people's words, you plagiarize.
Well, for people who don't, it's me just doing a transcript for you also.
All right, here's CJ actually saying it.
I would say, you know, we just got to honestly just play football better, execute better, stop pointing the finger and realize, you know, at the end of the day, like, this is not winning football and we can't keep squeezing our way by every game. You know, we are a really good football team. We have a lot of really good football players. Once we buy into the systems and what is being, you know, coached, and also we got to be able to have leadership to take over. So, you know, I believe, you know, this isn't the end, but this is definitely a great wake-up call for us.
Yeah, so they left out a lot of and at one point they left out football from good football players. They just put players. What CJ said, actually, I take that back. I should not have read that transcript. They left out a lot of words like, you know, and then also the word football. Now, I'm focused on that. The real focus is, CJ said, we got to stop pointing fingers. He mentioned buying in to both systems or to the systems, not one. What do you think all of this means? Let's sit here, and since CJ didn't
buying
tell us.
Buying in is a problem.
Buying in is a real problem.
Buying in, not buying in is a real problem. So do you feel like he's frustrated as all get out, right? He is at a point. I don't know if he's at a breaking point, but he's like, what the hell happened to this off? What happened to this team? What happened? Where are we? And he's right. They're better than this. And they look like Dookie the other night. They really look like Dookie.
And they've started looking like Dookie a lot this year.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not Dookie, but like a fart in a bottle where you're like, what is this? This isn't what I expected. Because if you open up a bottle and you think it's an empty bottle and then you get a fart in a bottle, you're going to be like, I did not see this coming.
Right. That's, I was going to enjoy like this nice warm liquid
bottle.
Drink.
Yeah. And then it turns out fart in a bottle.
Yeah.
Not great. It hasn't. CJ talked about them sneaking by games and squeezing by. And it's been true. They haven't put teams away. They haven't played dominant football. They had a great game against Josh Allen in Buffalo. So that was a really, really good one. This here against Detroit is a dangerous game because everything that DeMeco Ryans has built up, the legend of C.J. Stroud, the Nick Caserio love train that he's experienced, this stuff can start to fade away quick if you catch an ass kicking by the Lions. And let me tell you, they're going into everyone's house. They're going into their trap and taking over their trap, as Kirk Cousins would say. And that's a real problem because when they go in, they leave everything a mess. I mean, they got two running backs that can play all three downs, and they're two very different. They got a bully in Montgomery, and they got a flash and dash guy in Jahmyr Gibbs. Sam LaPorta starting to come around. Amon-Ra St. Brown is just a terrific wide receiver. They built an offensive line that the Texans wish they had. They both tried to do it. Only one team was successful of finding the bullies. They got a quarterback who simply, by the way, interestingly enough, my comp for C.J. Stroud was Jared Goff coming out, and I still like the comp. I think they're very similar type of quarterbacks. But Jared Goff right now is steering the ship. Did you see the stat they had on him? He has 28 touchdowns. I got to see the stat. Something like his incompletions are 25.
Oh, no, right, yeah.
25 touchdowns, but it can't be 25 touchdowns and incompletions, can it? They said something like, because he didn't have 28 touchdowns this year, but it was 28 touchdowns to 25 incompletions in his last several games. How is that even possible? They showed the stat last night on the Sunday night game. Hmm. And Jared Goff, I know Lamar Jackson's going to get all the love for MVP, but Jared Goff really deserves a lot of attention for that award. So does Josh Allen. So does Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is a monster. He did it again yesterday. Like, Derrick Henry has made Lamar Jackson and Todd Monken's job so much easier. Monken is the offense coordinator over there. Lamar's playing great. Monken's doing a great job with the play action. But look what happens when you have a dominant running game. You can set your quarterback up for easy play action throws. So easy, because your linebackers are flowing downhill. You've got safeties who are all over the field because Monken's doing a good job of just. And Lamar's throwing it with good accuracy. And it's been, I mean, the rate right now, the best game right now in pro football, I think, would be Ravens versus Lions. Now, I'm kind of disrespecting the Chiefs a little bit here, but I just don't love the way Mahomes is playing.
They're hard to watch right now.
Something's off because Mahomes is not the same quarterback. I would say Mahomes right now is not playing like one of the top eight quarterbacks in the league, but he is making winning plays in critical times.
You know, honey, okay, so Jared Goff, 74.9%. 75% he's throwing. Averages 8.7 yards per throw. 14 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. You know how many times he's been sacked?
How many?
18. You know how many times CJ's been sacked?
How much?
30.
Well, that's a really high
30, number. And last year was 38 for the whole season. He's already got 30.
Who didn't play last year?
Kenyon Green.
Who's out for the rest of the year?
Kenyon Green. You think it gets better?
I think everything's solved. No, but I think that the odds of the Texans making a trade now have gone way up. I think that it's about 60% now that they will add depth on the offensive line. Because the problem is if you trade for an offensive lineman for another team, it's pretty rare that you can get like a Cam Robinson level player, you know, solid tackle who comes in and now he's starting for Minnesota. Finding a guard, a good guard on a team, they're going to be looking at guards who are backups on other teams. Evan Neal, Nate Davis from the Bears, who I think is just will turn into another Kenyon Green because that's an issue for him, pass pro. And then Andres Pete.
Wait a minute. You want a guy who's a backup on the Bears?
No, I don't.
Did you?
I don't want one.
No,
but I think they'll do that,
Nick Caserio. If you can't start on the Bears, what the bleep?
Yeah, they stink. On the offensive line, they stink. Well, there are not bad run blocking. Well, it's the same as with the Texans, but we're looking specifically for pass protection right now.
All right, we're looking to.
But ship. I bet you they make. I think they're going to make a trade this week.
Yeah, maybe.
I think they make a trade and find a new offensive guard.
We got Ship Talk coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's 8:30. So let's go. Dell's got that ready for us next. Right now, I got HRP. HRP.net 281-880-6525 or HRP.net. How about my collie? Huh? Mike Holly, how about them Cougs, huh? Nice win this week. Very nicely done. And Mike Holly is a guy who went to the University of Houston. He blocked for Andre Ware. He started a business here. He got some technology that other people are trying to get off of him. Other bigger, there's national payroll companies, right? And last time I saw him, he was like, yeah, they're trying. I met with a guy. He's making me a stupid, ridiculous offer, but I'm not taking it. He said, I love what I'm doing here, and I love helping the people, especially here in the Houston area. You've heard from a bunch of them. You've heard from Chuck Watson. You've heard from Chad Clay, Marcus Piabla. You've heard from that guy, Ricky, from the liquor. What's the whiskey?
Gentleman.
You heard from all of them talking about HRP and what they do for their companies. They wouldn't come on here and do that unless they meant it, unless they believed in it, and they do believe in it. And see if your business doesn't get better because of HRP. They're out there helping you save money, do it more efficiently, and also your benefits packages, they're giving you choices on those. They don't make money on those. They give you choices on those, and that's what's best for your company, not something that some admin company is selling you that you have to take because you're with them. Look, you may be doing it wrong with your admin company, but you're certainly doing it wrong if you're doing it yourself. Get your payroll right. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. Time for Ship Talk. Some ship going on out there. And Dell's got it all right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What kind of ship are we talking about here?
Well, we know Pat McAfee has a wrestling background, and he loves to play to the crowd on game day. And the big issue in State College, other than Jane Franklin never beating anyone good, is the fact that that game wasn't a night game. It was a big noon kickoff. So both sets were there, game day and big noon kickoff. So here's McAfee making reference to that and taking a shot at Fox's broadcast.
This game is not at night. This is a big noon kickoff. Kind of a mixed reaction. I don't think there's any people at their set. That's on them, not on us. All I know is after today, that football team, these fans are going to be proud to say, we are! We are! We are! Thank you.
They weren't so proud because after the game, they confronted James Franklin, a couple fans, because I guess they went three possessions inside the 10 and only came away with 3 points.
I tell you, James Franklin's not a very friendly guy.
And James Franklin responded, say, what's your name? What's your name? And the kid just
walks
away.
What's your badge number? Okay, Karen.
The kid walks away and, you really tough now. What's your name? What's your name? And then he rang the victory bell, which you only ring after wins.
Who did?
Who did?
James Franklin.
He rang the victory bell?
They have a bell that when you're walking back into their tunnel, there's a bell to signify victory, and he rang it.
Because he showed up to that kid?
Maybe. He won the battle, I guess.
He won that battle with the kid?
So because weak. The kid walked away, oh. I guess. I don't know.
Well, I mean, take your wins where you get them, James.
That's just like Bobby Knight. Hey, Knight. Remember when Bobby Knight just wanted to waylay that kid?
Yeah, the kid, he just brought up numbers.
Bobby would choke you.
3 points.
Yeah. What about Nick Saban's ship talk? Do you have that one in there?
I don't know what Nick said.
They brought out this food and Nick.
Google it, see if you can
find
it. It
was sandwich, some kind of sandwiches from sandwich shop there. And Nick goes, what is this ship? Only he said.
On the air?
On the air. On the air. He goes, what is this ship? I was like, oh.
Here it is. Just do Nick Saban hilariously. It's a Saturday Down South. Hilariously swears during college football's tailgate food segment. Just type in Nick Saban and sandwiches, and we've got it.
Yeah, it was funny. What else, Del?
Well, the big news, you know, beyond the Aggies not being able to tackle Saturday night was Joel Embiid attacking a reporter. If you missed it, Joel Embiid didn't like what Marcus Hayes wrote about his lack of availability. Because I guess Joel Embiid has said in the past that because his brother died in a car accident when he was maybe a rookie or second year player, so he named his kid after his brother, and he says he wants to be great to pay tribute to those two. And Marcus Hayes said, "Well, you know how you be great? You show up and play." But he referenced Joel Embiid's comments about his brother in an article, and Joel Embiid was not happy, and that's what resulted in the altercation. Well, earlier in the week, Joel Embiid had comments about people criticizing him and his lack of availability.
You know, from what I can tell you, I've broken my face twice. I came back early with the risk of losing my vision. Had broken fingers. I still came back. So I'm not going to see him and be like, you know, when I see people saying he doesn't want to play. I've been way too much. I've done way too much, you know, for this city, and you know, putting myself at risk, you know, for people to be saying that. So I do think it's bullshit. Like that dude, he's not here, Marcus, whatever his name is. I've done way too much for this city to be treated like this. So done way too much. But like I said, I wish I was as lucky as other ones, but that doesn't mean that I'm not trying and, you know, I'm not, you know, doing whatever it takes to be out there.
I'm going to ask you an honest question, Del. This is for you. Would you say Joel Embiid is one of the five most sensitive players that you've ever seen in pro sports?
Kevin Durant's one.
Kevin Durant's in the list.
Yeah.
Is Joel Embiid in there? Because Joel Embiid, I've done too much. He's basically put his life on the line to play.
How many
basketball.
Times has he done something like this, though?
Oh gosh, he's fusses all the time. He's been fussy and he's sensitive. He'll start crying after just damn near everything. You know, Joel Embiid has never played more than his record is 68 games in a year, right? That's his all-time record. Yeah. He missed his first 2 years. Then he played 31, 63, 64, 51, 51, which is the COVID year. Don't really count it. Actually, they got most of their season in. 68, 66, and this year he's at 39. Last year he was at 39. What is this guy talking about? You can't take any criticism from somebody saying you're not available. You miss a tremendous amount of games during your career relative to the rest of the stars in the league. A tremendous amount of games. Why in the world would he be so sensitive as to say, in fact, the 65 games, isn't that what it is? You have to play 65 or more games?
To be an MVP, yeah.
It feels like it's
the Joel Embiid rule.
It is, because he's played 63, 64, 68, 66. This feels like an Embiid rule.
Well, here is the quotes from what he said to Marcus Hayes before he kind of gave him a shove. The next time you bring up my dead brother and my son again, you're going to see what I'm going to do to you, and I'm going to have to live the consequences. So I think he's less sensitive about mentioning him not playing and referencing his brother.
So what did he say?
I'm trying to find it exactly, but here it is. Joel Embiid, this is from the article Marcus Hayes wrote. Joel Embiid consistently points to the birth of his son, Arthur, as the major inflection point in his basketball career. He often says that he wants to be great to leave a legacy for the boy named after his little brother, who tragically died in an automobile accident when Embiid was in his first year as a Sixer. Well, in order to be great at your job, you first have to show up for work. Embiid has been great at just the opposite. Now, in his 11th season, he consistently has been in poor condition. This poor conditioning apparently seems to have delayed his debut this season. According to Joel, he didn't like you making reference to his brother and his son. And that's why he got so upset.
But he didn't he didn't take shots at them.
No.
I have watched
the reaction from people, and it's decidedly in Joel Embiid's favor. I had to check myself, because when I first read, I was like, yeah, he made reference to it, but he didn't insult your family at all. But
this is just a free pass to be able to, but
from anyone who is talking about this, from local, whether it be, I guess you want to call them media in Philadelphia, to just obviously the internet reaction, it's all siding with, hey, Marcus Hayes, you didn't have to mention his brother and his son. And that wasn't my reaction. I thought
he didn't have to.
Yeah, he didn't have to, but they are calling it a scumbag move. And I thought to myself, am I reading this wrong? I didn't feel that it was so egregious, because he never insulted.
I didn't think it was egregious, but he didn't.
Just mentioning a kid or a dead brother. You know what? Just say play.
You could do that. With that said, he did not take. I mean, he did not take a shot, and this did give Embiid a chance to say, "You're mentioning my. You're bringing the, because that's one of the oldest tricks in the book. If you can readjust it to where basically they become the focus. Like, you brought up my family.
Right.
That's like when Russell Westbrook. When they called him Russell Westbrook? What said, did Russell Westbrook
out,
say?
Don't call
you
me
were taking
my,
shots at my family.
He said, don't call me outside my family name.
Yeah, like Russell, they're
whatever.
Saying,
don't mess with my family name.
What are you talking about?
You got anything else or no?
Sure. Right. We can go to, this is short and sweet from Anthony Edwards. It's self-explanatory.
Yeah, what would you say to somebody who said you're shooting too many threes?
Fuck them. Simple here.
I'm going to shoot threes.
Who was that, Fred VanVleet?
No. John? It could have been Jalen Green too, but it was Ant Edwards who said that. And we go to north of the border to wrap it up. If you don't know, Drake and DeMar DeRozan are in a bit of a beef, because DeMar DeRozan appeared in Kendrick Lamar's video. You know that video that called Drake a pedophile. Well, the song did, and the video certainly highlighted it. And Drake and DeRozan know each other from their time where DeRozan was a Toronto Raptor. Drake's a big Raptor fan. Over the weekend, Vince Carter's name was put up in the rafters, or jersey was put up in the rafters. They retired Vince's number. So Drake made an appearance, and he made an appearance on the broadcast, and DeRozan was in the building because Sacramento was there. So here's Drake on DeMar DeRozan.
Sure. Yes, if you ever put a DeRozan banner up, I'll go up there and pull it down myself. That's the answer to your question.
Unfortunately,
this
group tonight, but it is what it is. You know what I mean? Hey, look, we're going to take a break. You're going to stay, but I bet you are. Huh? Yeah.
In the muddled clip, he called him a goof as well. And this all stems, like I said, from DeRozan making an appearance in that video. And DeRozan said, oh, go up. Oh, I would like to see you try to go up there. And I believe Drake called him an F and P word as well, but not to DeRozan's face. As they were walking, as DeRozan was walking off the court.
They used to be friends.
Drake used his inside voice and called him an F and P word.
They used to be friends, though. What has happened? Now he's on videos with Kendrick making fun of Drake. Like, when did this shift?
Well,
this is so sad.
Well, DeRozan's a Southern California guy, and so
I know,
is,
it's just
so,
so sad, but he used to be a Raptor. And Drake owns the Raptors, kind of.
They have made him a big part of the franchise, yes.
Yes. Do you know who the owner of the Raptors is?
I don't know the owner of most teams.
No one knows. Kind of think it's Drake, because he sits in like basically their owner.
I don't think it's Drake.
Kind of like Drake.
He just sits
in those seats.
If you ask me, I probably know only like three or four owners of NBA teams, so I wouldn't know the Raptors owner.
No.
Well, governors.
Yeah, you're right, governors. Drake isn't a governor of the Raptors franchise.
846. Governor. We're not owners. We're governor. Governors. Governor. That was Ship Talk right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And this is Doc Linville talking about your hair. But not only your hair, okay? What about your eyes, okay? Maybe there's a lot of eyelid stuff going on there, starting to grow over your eyes. Maybe underneath your eyes you got bags. Doc can help you with that. Maybe your abs. He can certainly help you with that. He's got a machine called Evolve that can help there. getting rid of fat. Listen, you want to be the best you can be. You want hair. You want to look good. You want your skin to be good. You want to be thin. All of these things, Doc can help you. He's been helping women look enhanced or just better for years and years and years. And now he's helping you look better, guys. Okay? He said, well, I can't help the guys, too. Let's do it. You know, he started the neo-grafting for the hair, I don't know, three, four years ago, and he's one of the biggest in the city, okay, because of you, because you said. And this is the time to catch it, guys, when you're younger. And by the way, when you get older, it's a lot harder to work them abs, too. So get it done now. 975hair.com. You need to look better. And Doc Linville is helping you there. 975hair.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back. We talked a little earlier. We wanted to talk a little college football. So, Del, what'd you learn this weekend about your Hurricanes? They struggled in the first half now.
Well, it was a weird game. They scored the first 14.
Right.
And then Duke goes on a 28-3 run. They scored three straight times to come back, and then they scored in their first drive of the second half, and then Miami blitzes them for from 17. It was 17. I can't remember how it ended, but they played three different games in the same game. Where that final quarter from Miami, the back half of the third quarter into the fourth quarter, they were dominant. Forced turnovers, scored every time they touched it. In fact, until like a Cam Ward, well, he threw a pick and a fumble, but they kind of did whatever they wanted to in that second half offensively. So I learned they can score. I learned they're still the best offense in the country, and they're probably more Lincoln Riley's Oklahoma than anything else.
Who's the best team in the country right now?
Oregon. I mean, complete. They had the best win of the year, I think. They beat Ohio State at home. Now, the Michigan game wasn't such a big deal. Texas has gone in there and beaten Michigan, but yeah, you top their dominance plus the marquee Ohio State win. I don't know how you can put anyone else above them. You watch Carson Beck; he can't go 10 passes without throwing a pick. Now, the Georgia quarterback has some problems. So Georgia, you can't depend on him. And Georgia's fluctuating performances from week to week, partly because their quarterback can't be depended on. You got to go with a team in the Pacific Northwest right now.
Yeah. They're rock solid, and they got a quarterback. We talked about it with Josh Pate. Just Dylan Gabriel's just a good college quarterback. Can run, can pass. You want to have a dual threat guy in college. Have ways to get, you know, when the passing game's not going great, have ways to create plays on the ground. He does that. He's not a big pro prospect or anything, but he knows how to win in college. He's played a lot of games, started a lot of games, and he's just he's solid. He's solid. They lost, I guess Oregon lost one of their top young linemen, a young guard, was injured because Jeff Schwartz was talking about that former Oregon Duck in our Joe Moore Award text string. But I still think it's up for grabs, though. Alabama's back in the mix. Alec was home over the weekend. My son, who's at Alabama, he's all excited, saying, "Hey, we're back in the middle of this, having a real shot now with the Aggies losing." And he's kind of right. Like, as long as they handle their business, they're going to be in the playoffs.
So, okay, so let's talk about that. Okay, so the four teams are Oregon in the Big Ten, BYU, Big 12.
At the moment, yeah.
Miami, ACC.
Yeah, we learned that Clemson, they saw a good team again, or at least even a relatively good team, a team who had athletes that they had to deal with. The first time since really Georgia, and they looked like what they did against
them. How about SMU?
SMU should be in the top 12, I think.
Wait a minute. SMU and Miami going to play off?
Well, if they went out, they're playing each other in the ACC.
So here's what I think. Yeah. I don't think teams should be punished for championship games. I think that the decision maybe should be like, how is it fair that you go to an extra game because you're so good in a conference and then that loss kicks you out? Is that fair when you have a 12 team playoff? that somebody who's that lesser,
somebody who's somebody's home, lesser, well, if somebody else is sitting home and they,
yeah, and they don't have to play a game because right. like, they're not good enough right, in their right. conference. That doesn't seem right.
Right.
SMU is on the verge of being in the top 12. Notre Dame's going to be in there. I think Georgia, Alabama, Ole Miss is starting to reassert themselves.
Ole Miss has
bit.
Georgia this week, so that will determine
Tennessee,
their fate.
They can't even score.
Ole Miss
like
and Georgia is going to be a good game. Yeah. Ole Miss slapped the snot
out of Arkansas. Yeah. Tennessee is just holding on. They may not have to play in an SEC title game, and they'll just be waiting there. And they probably
that's a great
will
example
it.
Of a team who'd get the brakes beaten off of them in a.
But
maybe
they do play Georgia, so
they're good defensively.
If you don't want Tennessee in this thing, they do play Georgia, so that'll Georgia has Ole Miss and Tennessee to wrap it up before they may even get to an SEC title game. And of course, so we're talking on Tuesday. Well, tomorrow, I think. You mentioned the ACC. I think if Miami loses, if they're undefeated and loses in the ACC title game, they'll make it. The question is, will they give SMU that same benefit of the doubt? They have one loss. It's only to BYU. BYU, who's undefeated themselves. SMU's only loss to them. That was a road game. They lost by like three, I think. Or maybe, maybe it was a home game. Lost by three.
SMU deserves to be there.
Yeah. Well, as long as they win out. If they're a, let's say they win out and then they lose to Miami. A two-loss SMU, would they say you're good enough?
I don't know. But I think they are, though. I think their level of play has been consistent. Throughout the year, they've been like they're a team that has been really what a great job. Dykes is over there, right?
No, not Dykes.
No,
Sonny Dykes is at TCU.
Rhett Lashley.
Yeah. It's who's over there?
Rhett Lashley.
Oh yeah, Rhett Lashley from you guys. I don't know. It's Dell. You told me he was no good. You and all of Miami
Stop
told
it.
Me Rhett Lashley was no good.
I never told you that.
Yeah,
cut
you
it out.
Manny Diaz
you told
was
me
no
he was
good
no good.
Either.
Well, I never said Manny Diaz was no good. I said he wasn't good enough, probably. But yeah, Rhett Lashley has done a great job. He was the former
and their offense is explosive.
He was the former OC at SMU. Then Manny hired him away, and then he went back to get the head coaching job. So their one loss is to number 9 BYU at home by 3. So if they roll into the ACC title game undefeated in conference play, and then drop a game to a top maybe 4 or 3 Miami team, that SMU team probably should get in. I just don't know if the committee will look at them favorably.
This is what it looks like. Miami. His odds are right now Miami, Oregon State, Ohio State. We got to see with Indiana. We got to see. But, I mean, they should be.
They play Ohio State later.
They should be clearly in the mix, but that one's going to be tough. BYU currently looks like it, but Iowa State is right there on the cusp. Kansas State, what a devastating loss for them.
No, we didn't even talk about Iowa State.
Is Penn State out now?
No, they're not out. If they finish as an 11-1.
Yeah, they're in.
The Big Ten will probably get at least 3.
Yeah,
it's funny. They're 2,500.
Ten's going to get 3. SEC's going to get 3.
And well, at least. And then you think Ohio State and Oregon, particularly if Ohio State beats them in a rematch, that's 2. Penn State 3. Indiana, depending on how they fare, could be the 4th.
Wow.
Who do you like to win the SEC championship game? I've got odds here. Georgia. +130. Texas +180. I kind of like Texas the second time.
I don't like
that. I give them a chance. Tennessee's +600. LSU +1,000. A&M 1,000. Alabama +1,400.
A&M can still get there with a win over Texas.
Ole Miss 1,500.
A&M can still get into the Big Ten.
But then if they get whacked, then they get knocked out of the top 12.
No, but if they beat Texas, they're in the playoff.
But they'd have to play an SEC championship game.
They'd be a 3.
And then Alabama would be sitting there minding their own business. They're not in the game, and then they'd fall behind Alabama.
The real test will be
to see how many teams get in for the SEC.
Alabama's got 2. I think Texas A&M would still go
over
losing the championship.
Would they put in a 3-loss SEC runner-up?
If they play in the championship game, they should, as opposed to a 2-loss Alabama who didn't even get there.
It'll be interesting to see how they dole out those bids. I'm sure Sankey would love that, but
they didn't get there because A&M didn't have to play Georgia. And the head-to-head Alabama – well, Alabama actually beat Georgia. So Alabama lost to who? Well,
they lost to Vandy,
Vanderbilt.
And they lost to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Both road games, Tennessee and Vandy.
Well, but still, they can't win in Tennessee. That's a big problem. You cannot win in the state of Tennessee.
Well, and for years – they had Tennessee as their East team, and they got to play them every year.
And they dominated
and it was
them.
It was a joke.
People forgot that was even a rivalry.
Yeah.
In fact, Alabama people see the Tennessee rivalry. Well, they see it as a bigger game than the Auburn game. It's a cigar.
Did y'all know this is a cigar game?
The winners smoke cigars, yes.
But did you know that before?
Yes, because I remember there was a shot of all three Alabama quarterbacks. It was Hurts, Mack, and Tua all with cigars when they're all on the same roster.
And that was after
time.
The Tennessee game?
Yeah, after the Tennessee game, yeah.
Because I think that picture showed up on my timeline way after that.
Yeah.
All right, it's 9 o'clock on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Who's your favorite to win the Heisman Trophy, by the way? I got the odds here. Who would you say is the favorite for you, Dell, to win the Heisman Trophy?
Well, I know who the favorite is now, so I don't want to answer it.
Genty or Gabriel?
Nope.
Genty's has fallen.
Cam Ward plus 160.
Yeah. Genty's fallen way back because...
Plus 450.
Well, he only had 159 this week?
Exactly. Because he's got to put up
210. No, I thought he was in the 180s again.
I think it was in the 140-something, but... He's playing games no one's watching,
yeah.
And the numbers aren't big enough, although he's having great games by normal standards.
Yeah, he needs to be over 200.
Yeah.
He needs to be over 200 a game is frankly what he needs to be. In his last game, 31 for 149. And it's not like they don't give him the ball a lot. 31 carries, 33 carries, 31 carries. That's his last three games.
What did he have this week?
31 for 149, two touchdowns. It's good. 4.8 yards a carry. The game before, 3.9. The game before, 7. His offensive line, by the way, is not very good. Like, they're going to be really mad when they're not a Joe Moore Award semifinalist. We didn't even put him on the honorable mention, and they were losing their mind. But when we watch it, it's like, it's all gentle.
The Texans are making run blocking look irrelevant now because if you can't pass block, then you're not a good offensive line. The Texans can run block. Oh, big deal. And then CJ's getting killed.
Well, then
so maybe, run blocking ain't all that.
Are
big
they
a
passing
deal.
Too much then?
No, they're not passing too much.
It appears to be since you can't since you're running the ball.
Oh, wait a minute. That's all I'm hearing is Bobby Slowick. That's all he does is run the football on first down. Now you want him to run the football on first down?
Well, let me ask you.
Bobby Slowick can't win.
Let me ask you. Do they run the ball well?
They run the ball real well.
When Mixon's healthy, then why not give him more carries like Tennessee used to do? Tennessee won with Derrick Henry using conservative with Dell's guy, former Aggie and former Ryan Tannehill. Why not? You know what I would do? Like I would say, okay, what we can't do is pass protect. What we do well is run the football with Joe Mixon. Huh. Well, then it sounds like you need to run the football maybe a little more and maybe throw, especially on second down, because we know it's going to be run first down, throw second down, throw third down. It's pretty predictable. How about you make quick hit throws, get the ball out quickly on early downs, and then just live off of Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon right now should be getting 28 carries a game, and then the rest of them should
I
don't care. Yeah, you can't protect.
You want to beat the snot
out of him. You want to keep losing?
You want to beat the snot out of Joe Mixon.
No, Joe Mixon.
I want Joe Mixon to be able to run the
Joe
football.
Joe Mixon's beating the snot out of other people.
Well, Joe Mixon's getting beat up.
What I'm not going to do is say, what you're asking him to do is shoot a lot more Fred VanVleet three-pointers instead of go to – that's what it is. Hey,
When did CJ turn into Fred VanVleet in 28%?
The protection is Fred VanVleet.
No.
Well, he did.
So you're asking him to pass more where you don't do it well.
Well,
it is. It's true.
He did shoot 11 for 30 on Thursday night. That's very Fred VanVleet like.
That is Fred VanVleet.
Wait. What?
CJ shot 11 for 30.
Oh yeah. Well, honestly, the protection's so bad. It's like asking the Rockets right now. Fred needs to get more threes up. No, he doesn't.
He gets plenty up.
Hey,
no.
Hey,
don't pass as much. You got two tackles who don't. Buy into what's going on anyway. Who cares?
I want you to buy into Republic Boot Company. I want you to buy into the events that they got there. It's a perfect place to have your next corporate or family
great
holiday
place,
event.
Isn't it?
It is a great place. It smells so good in there. I'm telling you, this is a great place to have a holiday event. It really is. Call them about renting the shop out. And it fills up fast for the holidays. So call them about having something there. They got a great bar. They got a stage on Fridays. They call it Fireball Fridays. Everybody gets together with live music, food, and drinks over there. It's really a really neat place.
New cowboy hat to go. You can get rodeo ready, and that's their big deal. Is they want to get you ready to be rodeo ready with new hats, new boots, custom-made boots. You've got boots in the 1836 collection
starting at $395.
Yeah. So it's a great chance for you to have boots that are going to last you for your lifetime, basically, because they can do the repairs, small repairs. They do it all right there in Chicago.
Yeah, Republic Boot Company, it's really, really, really cool. If you haven't been there, let's go. Get on over there. It's a neat, neat place. I hope we go back there. We did shows there. It is something. So get on over to Republic Boot Company. That's republicbootcompany.com. It's on 11th Street, 1133 East 11th Street in the Heights, just off 11th and Studewood, republicbootcompany.com.